Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to anybody joining online. Today's a special day. The Swillies are here, and if you've never been here to hear them before, it's always amazing, and I've been looking forward to today all week. I happened to lose my voice a little bit this past Wednesday on vacation, and I have been just really hoping it would come back, and it's came back enough where I can give it my all today. But so glad that you're here. Looking forward to youth camp for the kids tonight. I'm speaking at that tonight, and I'm really looking forward to that. But this morning, let's stand and let's worship Almighty God. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for this time that we could come together and all together just share our love and praise and worship to you, Father. Jesus' name.
The wind. Your face. ocean or lake or river and just let go of your body? I mean, have you experienced just laying there, floating or riding the waves and looking at the sky or closing your eyes and just feel the love of God just washing over you? You're just floating, man. I've spent the past few weeks going out to nature is kind of my thing to realign and reconnect and just being in the presence of God and spending a lot of time in the water this summer. Literally, that just feels to me what God's love feels like. I've had a lot of disappointments in the past few weeks, and I tried not to go into this to share with you today, but I feel like it's really important to understand that God is still there in those situations. And come every trial, every burden, every disappointment, God is still there. And it's when we can recognize that and identify with God's presence in those moments and open our hearts to His love, we come back home. We come back home to our hearts. We come back home to who we are. And what I mean by that is that we come back home to God. So I'm so thankful that I was disappointed, because it pointed me straight back to my Creator, to my Savior, to the one who makes all things new. Came across something this morning. It says, I realize every day that our world is a fractured image of what God intended. In it exists suffering, injustice, and challenges that can sometimes seem so contrary to our belief that God is good and working in all things for good. Yet through Jesus, heaven has been opened to us, though only in part, but therefore our worship must also reflect the hope that we have in what we have not yet seen. Worship involves an element of faith. Faith that God is not finished with the world that He made and declared was so good. There is so much more to come. God is constant. He is faithful. He is certain. His attributes and character unchanged by time and circumstance. He's so unchanging, yet He makes all things new. So as we sing these songs this morning, let it be a declaration of our faith, of our future in Him. Not only was He, but He is, and He is to come. There is no past, no present, no future. He restores all things, makes all things new. God, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the disappointments. We thank You for the mountaintops and the valleys. I pray that today we can be standing on the edge of the mountaintop so that we can catch the wind. Love You.
There's no grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire. Standing next to me was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Thank you.
dead foot of death beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this remedy? Either way, I will bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need remind, the power set me free. There is a grave that holds no bound. Now the power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, 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 there is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be
the joy from the battles, Father, because we know That is where you will be, Father. Glory. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
You know, when you're in love with someone, when you are in love with your spouse, in love with your children, being in love with God is somehow so much better than that, God. Thank you for the wind. Thank you for the waves. Thank you for carrying us. Go ahead and lift up your voices. I hear you. I hear you guys lifting up your praise. Oh, I asked him this week, what do you delight in? What brings you joy? And he said, your voice. Your voice brings me joy. So sing. Sing your way out. Sing your way through. Give me praise. As you climb up, as you fall down, as you muddle through muddy waters, it's your voice that gives me praise. It's your voice I delight in, and Father, it is your voice that we delight in.
Song we used I used to sing it, and I didn't write it or anything, but talked about when the music died. Boy, it was horrible to think about that, right? Ushers are going to come. We're going to worship God with our tithes and offerings this morning, and as they're doing that, if you look in your bulletin, pull out your connection card and fill that out. If you're a guest this morning, thank you for being here. We're glad you're here, and you're going to be glad you're here after a while, and you probably already are glad you're here, right? So in there's three connections that's going to be started, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. One is Irresistible. It's a book study by Andy Stanley that I have thoroughly enjoyed and studied it through myself. We're going to be leading that. There's another group Bibles, a book study called Goliath Must Fall. Say Must Fall. Not... You know, I wrote a statement down studying this week that victory is a mandate. It's not an option. It's a mandate that we are victorious. And I'm starting a series next Sunday called Battles. Say Battles. It's going to be good. It's battles you should fight, battles you shouldn't fight. How many know that sometimes we fight battles we ought not even be in? Some choose your battles. Anybody ever... tell somebody you need to choose your battles. Sometimes battles choose you. Sometimes they choose you. But it's going to be an interesting study. It's something I haven't done in a long, long time, and I'm looking forward to it. But another one is on parenting. And if you go to that study and you pass it, you get to be a grandparent. Yeah. See, there are parents... and God bless all of you. But then there's grandparents. We're grand. It's an elevated parenthood. It's so awesome. I mean, it's nothing like being a grandparent, because you don't parent anymore. You just have fun. Yep. Well, I've had fun this morning already, but I want to introduce to most of you know him and heard. Some of you may not. This is really, I haven't even told him, this is sort of a... reintroduction of Dwayne Swilley and Deborah Swilley to Eagles Way Church. We have a lot of people out of town on vacation, but we're going to have them back again this year. And so I want him to come and just reintroduce himself. And would you welcome Dwayne Swilley?
Will told me to put it in my back pocket.
There you go.
Okay, I can do that. I feel like I'm the most overdressed person in this room. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here we go. That's good. All right. Now we're more even. Okay. It is so good to be at Eagles Way with my best friend Buren and my best friend Barbara. I mean that. I speak at a lot of places around the world, and I don't know the people that I'm there to be with, and usually I don't speak their language. But to be here with my friends, good gracious, and my family, because if I just started, it would never end. I'm so proud of you. I can tell that the grandfather thing's on me. Corinne is pregnant with our eighth, and they're all 8 years old and younger. And so it's fun. It's chaos at our house. That's truth. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm more reflecting than I've ever reflected before, taking inventory of things and being thankful for things. And I know that at a very special time in my life, you were a friend to me. You just weren't a friend. You took me in your home. And you made this church our home where I could travel around the world. And Eagles Way took care of my family and my children. And I don't ever forget that. If you forget the people that helped you get where you are, you're not really much about integrity or character. And I just want to say thank you. And the first year that we were down here, this church underwrote our ministry. I don't know if you knew that, or maybe I shouldn't have told that you spent money on us. Okay. Thank you. It means so much to me. And to watch Dusty be the woman that she is, the leader that she is, that's just incredible what God has done and the home you have and the children. Good gracious. I can't. God bless you for what you've raised. Good gracious. And Connie is family to me. And Missy and the kids, thank you. I love you all so much. And my heart is very full. And when I come to speak here, I take it very, very seriously. In 2 weeks, I'm speaking in front of 35,000 people in Argentina, and 5,000 of them are pastors. I probably feel more serious about this morning than I do that. Not that all are not serious, we know that, but it's just, I really feel I owe you. I'm a person that will not be outloved. We get in a contest. We'll see who loves most. But there's no losers in that contest. Okay, so all right. You know I love you. Have I made that clear? And that whatever you ever need from me, you can call. And I'll change my calendar. Because I'm thankful. Okay, are you ready? You ready for something? Reach up, touch your ears. Say, God, let me hear what the Spirit would say to me. Let it bear good fruit. Let it bear a harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I was in Argentina, I was speaking at the same place that I'm going back to, and they called me up and they said that your dad's unconscious and not expected to live. And I said to the people there, I love all of you. That's my dad. and I have to go home. Because family to me is everything. It's everything. Genesis to Revelation, family is everything. It's everything. And so it took me 24 hours to get bedside to him, because if you don't know how long South America is, if you're down at the bottom of it, you can get to Europe sooner, quicker. And so between driving and flying and waiting in the airport, it was 24 hours, and I got to his side, and I said, "Dad, you cannot die because you haven't wrote your first book," because he always wanted to write a book. Now, he spoke all over the world, but he never put it down and wrote it down. And I said, "Dad," and I'm talking to him, and he's unconscious, and they have his hands tied down to the bed because he tries to, subconsciously was trying to pull the stuff out of his nose and the tubes out, and to see my dad like that was overwhelming. And I said, I kept talking to his spirit. I said, "Dad, you can't die. You cannot die. You haven't wrote your book. You can't die. You haven't wrote your book." I said, "Because the day you come home from the hospital, I will not leave your house till we complete the book."
Wow.
And so 6 weeks later, Dad got out of the hospital. I was living in Miami. I flew to meet him. When he got home, I had my computer open, and we went at it for 8 days, day and night. And I wrote Dad's first book. And it's called Making Marriage Last, 70 Years Still in Love. Now, 70 years of marriage. 70 years. This is so crazy. My mom will try to get my dad to eat. My dad has got stage 4 cancer in his colon and his liver and his lymph system and everything. And he's old school, baby. You ask Dad how he's doing. "Fine, doing great." I go, "Dad, you're not telling the truth." I'm telling you, it's fine. He's great. What a lesson. And so what now? Yes. And so mom will start trying to get Dad to eat. Dad goes, "I don't want to eat." And she'll start rubbing him on his back. And Dad will start to relax. He says, "I still don't want to eat." And then she'll start rubbing him on his stomach. And he goes, "I still don't want to eat." And then she rubs him a little lower, and Dad opens his mouth wide open, and he starts, "They're 88. They're 88. That's the secret right here. You want to get this book? You think you're too old? Does half the fire still going? Oh, this is great. This is great. But, man, these stories in here, my mom and Dad got married at 18. Lived in a one-bedroom apartment with a shared bathroom. Dad went to college in the morning, worked in a factory from 3 to 11 every night. Then they would get on the bus, and they would go evangelize. And the bus would drop them off downtown. Sometimes they'd have to walk 3 miles to, like, the church, mom in high heels. And anyway, the stories are priceless. You'll love that. I'll give that to you, Bjorn. You'll love that. That's awesome. Yes, you can.
Sometimes the prophetic gets in me and I can't stop it. I want to give you that book too, because the Lord spoke to me yesterday. The Lord spoke to me yesterday to duplicate ourselves in about 6 couples. And when I saw you both sitting there, He said that two of you, that you were one of those, that you will actually minister to couples. And some of the fruit that God has taught us that we can impart to you. And I just wanted to say that publicly.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So my mom and Dad got married without anything. So Dad starts to go down again after he's writing his first book. And I said, No, we got another book. And so all over the world, Dad would speak on marriage and he'd speak on finances. And mom and Dad, who had nothing when they got married, they have a beautiful home on 7 acres. There's flowers from all over the world in their yard. before Dad got sick a year ago, they would spend 4 hours a day just taking care of what I call the Garden of Eden. And there are ponds and fountains, and Mom always has like 6 projects ahead for Dad to do. My dad at 87 transplanted 250 plants by himself in one day. Yeah. And so the house is paid for, the cars are paid for. Now, this is people that would go do evangelistic work, and they would get $19 for a whole week. They wouldn't even pay for the gas. And that's why I didn't want to go into ministry. I said, look here, somebody in this family needs to earn some money so they can take care of the ministers in this family. And so that's why I got my degree from Georgia Tech and went into business. And then God. But this book is called The Gate, Financing Your Dreams or Drowning in Your Debt. God, it has the most incredible story. They have a couple $1 million in the bank. I don't know how. Well, this is how. So anyway, this is available for you. And I'm ready to start. Here we go. When I was talking to Buren this week, or last week, and he said, y'all are in a series on the kingdom. And so I started to think about that, and then all of a sudden this message about what's next, and I called Buren last night, and I said, did I preach what's next there? And he said, yes, you did. He said, but I really believe what's next is for now. And I said, well, that's good. I said, but I'm not going to preach the same thing again. And so God gave me a message on the kingdom. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk about the kingdom of God versus loneliness. The kingdom of God versus loneliness. I believe that the greatest tool the enemy has to defeat people in the kingdom is loneliness. Okay, let's think about it. Garden of Eden. They're living, starting every day with the presence of God, going for a walk with God every day, right, right, right? And what could be better? And what does the enemy do? The enemy comes in to sidetrack this incredible existence. And then he says to them, now you've got to leave the garden. Can you imagine going from in the garden to outside the garden? To going from everything is wonderful, there's a tree for everything, all you've got to do is maintain what God's already done. And then he says, now you're going to have to work for everything you get. And the barrier, the loneliness had to be more than they could bear. As I travel around the world, I just had many of the pastors that I cover in my home this past week. And do you know what most of them said was their biggest problem? Loneliness. Then there were singles that were in the room. And The overriding thing of loneliness, and that's what happened to me. I was ministering in Norway, and God said to me, I really appreciate all the stuff you're doing on marriage. He said, but you're only talking to half of the congregation these days. Because over half the congregation is either single or divorced. Or they were divorced and they're single. And they're battling. There's a difference in being alone and being lonely. Huge difference, mega difference. And so I'm there, and here's this man that's had me in. He has this phenomenal television studio with 5 different studios in the building. He has 10,000 partners just in Scandinavia, and he's the voice of that part of the world, and he's this Viking, and I mean a straight-up Viking. And we're like brothers. He calls me his fellow Viking. And he said, after 16 years of marriage, my wife walked in to the room. And she said, I don't want to be in ministry. I don't want to serve God. And I hate what you do. And she walks out on him. And he says, I'm devastated. I'm devastated. He says, for 2 years, I couldn't believe it. Here I am. And now I'm divorced, and especially in that part of the world, if you're divorced, you're finished. Religious, legalistic spirits try to always tell you the reason that you can't. that there's hurdles that you cannot possibly get over. You cannot possibly. And he said, he was doing a crusade in Armenia, found a spirit-filled, powerful young lady from a godly family. And they dated, and they felt it was God, and they got married, and she gets off the plane in Norway, and she goes, I hate this. I hate this climate. I hate this country. He says, well, give it just a chance. And she goes and says, I hate the church. I hate this television ministry. I didn't sign up for any of this. Gets on the plane and leaves. And he says, I'm trying to think of a different way to get out of life every day. He said, I was so lonely. Now, everybody knows him. He says, I've become the punchline of jokes all throughout Denmark, Norway, Sweden. And he said, I just pray, God, please let me die. Every night, please let me die. Please let me die. Please let me die. Loneliness. Here's a guy that's shaking Scandinavia, much of the world, doing things that are just, I could tell you signs and wonders in this man's ministry. It's incredible. But the kingdom of God, I'm going to show you the kingdom of God is the opposite. It's the antithesis to loneliness. And so a couple of years later, he met this powerful lady who they have had two beautiful children together, and they've been married now for 20 years. The same day, one of my sons in the faith that played in the NFL for a bunch of years called me up and says, I'm getting divorced. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so lonely. Then another lady that's very famous around the world, she called me up after 37 years, her husband, who had been physically and verbally abusive to her. She said, am I going to hell because I got a divorce? Because she's alone. I'm telling you, probably the most keen prophetic voice Bjorn I've ever heard in my life. Alone. And that's why I wrote the book, Life After Divorce. I came home and I was on a mission. I was on a mandate. Because I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, in our body of Christ, there's no reason to be alone. There's no reason. There's life for you. There's a future for you. God has not limited you. And so I have that. And then God said to me, now for all the single people, because God's first, his first opinion of the garden was this, it's not good for man to be alone. So I believe there's somebody for everybody. Cricket. There's somebody for everybody. And that's why I wrote the book, Finding Your Soulmate. Because it's not just something God has to do. There's things you have to do. Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. So we get to this scripture in Luke 17, 20-21, where it says, and now when Jesus was demanded by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? Now, let me give you some context for this scripture. The context for this scripture is the Jews were sick and tired of being under oppression by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, they just dominate. They tell you when you can do, what you can do. They tax you beyond anything. They are completely, the Roman Empire has no respect for their God, their temple, or for anything. And so the Jews, if you love history, they're just waiting for somebody to get them out of the mess they're in. And so the Pharisees, and can I tell you, put this in your mind and your spirit, there are some questions that don't deserve to be answered because you're not going to win either way you do it. And the Pharisees were trying always publicly to question Jesus' authority. They were trying to give him questions that were tricks. Because if he said, yes, the kingdom of God has come, because his disciples are calling him Messiah, then all they had to do was just one phone call to the Roman Empire, and Jesus would be incarcerated and killed, because that would be coming against Caesar. And so Jesus heard that, But yet he wanted to give his disciples hope because he was the Messiah. And so Jesus looks at them and he gives this answer. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with signs or to be seen, or the kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor will they say, look here or look there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or the kingdom of God is within you. What he was saying is, there is such power in you that not even the Roman Empire can stand against what's in you. No, nothing, somebody say, nothing can stand. No weapons, no enemy against me can stand against the kingdom that's in me. Because you know by the third century, Constantine, the emperor of Rome, became a Christian. He started taking over nations and forcing everybody to become a Christian. So, which was more powerful? I want you to get this clearly today. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, there's a great movie that came out in 2005. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And it's called The Kingdom of God. You ever saw it? Kingdom of God. And it's the story of this man, Leman Nielsen. That's the way you say his name? Liam Nielsen. What's his last name? Neeson. Okay. So this man is a knight. And Balaam is this blacksmith in the middle of nowhere. And his wife, because of a child dying, commits suicide. And he's lost. He knows where to go. He feels so alone. And here comes this knight through town. And actually, this man is his bastard son. And he takes this son and he teaches him everything. He teaches him what it is to be a knight. And there's so much about God in this thing. And it's about kingdom, because we don't really understand a lot about kingdom in America because we live in a democracy. You have to live in some place like England that's a monarchy, that's a kingdom, to understand kingdom. That's why Miles Monroe was always so good about talking kingdom, because he got up every morning when he was in school as a little boy and they played allegiance. They pled allegiance to the queen because it's a kingdom. Bahamas were a commonwealth of England. England was in charge. And so there's this battle, and if you know anything about history, in the Crusades, they were vicious. There were so many wrong motives in it, and it was religion at its very worst. People killed, people murdered over what was called Jerusalem. And in this movie, at the end, they fight to kind of a draw, but there's no way that the Christians of Jerusalem are going to win, so they have a truce that if they'll let all the people out, he'll give them Jerusalem. He gives them all freedom. And so to the Arab people, to the Muslim people, they gave it to. And the sister of the king, who is dead now, said to him, we've lost the kingdom. And he says, no, you haven't lost the kingdom. He says, because the kingdom is here and the kingdom is here. Let's all say it. The kingdom is here and the kingdom is here. The kingdom is in the way I think. I think the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. I think, how is it that we influence? How is it that we influence people? The kingdom. How is it that we feel what God feels about this world? Because he took and he put us on this planet to build a kingdom. So this is about kingdom. We're talking about kingdom principles, and good gracious, does Buren know how to teach the kingdom? He's great at kingdom. I remember when Kelly Varner used to come to this church. My goodness, that man was a walking encyclopedia of revelation on the kingdom. So here we come to this place of, I wanted to give you two principles this morning. Two principles this morning to defeat loneliness. The first principle is the as one principle. As one. As one. I believe that the greatest maturity in the kingdom of God is when you have an awareness of what God is doing every day in everything. Yeah. That's why I watch movies like this, and I'll just stop it, and I'll just go, did you just see what God just said there? Buren's that way about songs. Garth Brooks will be singing somewhere, and he'll say, come here, Dwayne, sit down right here. Did you just hear what the Lord said through that song? When it was, what was it, the first one, Dancing Outside the Fire? Okay. That man, do you know the number one song in the world today? Because country music's bigger than any other music. I don't know what's happened to me since I moved back to Atlanta. I'm like into country music. Like, I don't know. The number one song is This Is God's Country. Is that what it's called? God's Country? Is that what it is? I'll tell you. I have it written down. Man, I love this song. I love this song. Right outside of this one church town, there's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. God's got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. It's God's country. We pray for rain and thank him for it. When he's fallen, cause he brings a grain, a little bit of money, we put it in the plate. I guess that's what they call it, God's country. I love this. The devil went down to Georgia, but he didn't stick around. This is God's country. See, that, remember who was in there? The devil went down to Georgia. He was now Charlie Daniels. He was looking for a soul to steal. He's in a bind, way behind, willing to make a deal. Johnny said, devil, you might. Okay, all right. I told you once. I'm the best it's ever been. As one. There is, the enemy wants to separate you to make you feel lonely. God wants to bring you together to make you feel as one. Now, I want to tell you, there's things that I do besides watching movies, but I just have to do one other movie. One of my favorite movies of all time, The Gladiator. How many of you?
Yes.
That movie? My God, Russell Crowe. Maximus! So he's in the Colosseum, and now Caesar knows who it is, and he wants to kill this man. So they put on a show of a historical battle of Carthage, where the Rome invades Carthage, destroys everybody, kills everybody. So here are these gladiators with just a sword and a shield, and they're out there. There's no organization to any of them. And all of a sudden, out comes five or six huge chariots, and they have this blades on the wheels, and they're coming out. Each chariot has two horses, and there's a person driving, and then the person behind the chariot that's up on the chariot is an expert archer or an expert spear thrower. And so they're going around these guys, and they're all out disorganized. And Russell Crowe says, how many of you have ever been in the military before? And most of them raise their hand. He says, then get in formation. And they all get behind him. And then he goes, the only way we'll defeat these guys is as one. And they go and they lock shields. Everybody that went out on their own was immediately killed. Split up by the chariot's blades, picked off by the archer, picked off by a spear. You'll never make it alone. This is more than about church. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. That's why you have no right to talk about other churches. because that's part of his bride. I love you. I bless you. You talk about my wife, we're going to have a problem. And you know, I know I'm 66, but I think I can still bring it. And yet, we talk about Jesus' bride all the time. Oh, that Andy Stanley. I wish he'd get the Holy Ghost and do a couple of signs and wonders. First off, I know he has the Holy Ghost because my wife led him to the Holy Ghost in my youth ministry. Number two, you don't know. God has different people in the body for different things. It's the kingdom. So what if somebody's great at catching people? If Joel Osteen gets up every Sunday and just goes, how y'all doing? I love you. God's good. Isn't that great? And there's like millions of people going, yeah. Never really liked God, but I like him now. That's the kingdom. Quit comparing yourselves among yourselves. Can I tell you a secret? Do you know what the Bible is about? The Bible is a book about self-control for you. It's about your ability to self-edit, not judge other people. Doesn't that just make it simple? I love the song today you were singing about what righteousness, what was it? Mercy over judgment, right? Mercy over judgment. Look at the Bible and point at this and go, this is a book about me being in self-control. So point at it. This is a book about me being in self-control, about me editing myself. So a bunch of mess doesn't have to happen before I wake up and go, oh, that was bad. Let me just tell you what God has to do now. All God has to do to me is this now, Dwayne. That's it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll self-edit on a set. I don't have time to waste. I'm about the kingdom. So we see that we get to this story in Judges 20. It's an incredible story. Because I'm telling you, there are things happening in America that should make everybody that's kingdom-minded stand up and go, it's enough. It's enough. Do you know what would happen if the kingdom of God stood up in America? We would elect everybody. We would enact every law. That all the people on the Supreme Court would be Bible-believing, probably 80% of them Holy Ghost-filled. So a travesty has happened. This man is in his house, and these thugs come and circle the house. Somehow his wife slips out, and they rape her all night long till they kill her. How many of you believe that's a grievous thing? Murder is a grievous thing. And I will tell you clearly that I believe that when states start enacting where a baby, when it comes out, you can still kill it. That's just wrong. I don't care what you say. That's just wrong. Somebody has to stand up. You can't kill something that God created. And so, he takes, this is kind of graphic, and he cuts her into 12 pieces, and he sends a piece of his wife to every one of the tribes and goes, what are we going to do? I love this. In the first 10 verses of Judges, the 20th chapter, it says, and they arose as one man. They arose as one man. Let me tell you, when you never feel lonely again, it's when you're involved in something bigger than yourself. When you're consumed about doing something, you don't think about anything but God, help me to do what you've called me to do. And you're working together with your brothers and sisters. And I tell you, when you seek first the kingdom, he'll add everything else to you. He said all these things, everything. Everybody say, everything I want, I get if I seek first the kingdom. It's in here. 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 See, you can't just listen to pastors speak on Sunday. The word has to become flesh. This kingdom thing is a real thing. And I promise you, the more you're around kingdom people, the more you become a kingdom thinker and a kingdom feeler. Right? That's why whenever we'll eat some food after today. And I tell you, my first line of question will be, so what have you been speaking about, Buren? Because I love this man's mind, his spirit. You know he's done his homework. He reminds me so much of my dad. He's done his homework. He has something to say that brings life. And I take that and I put that in me. And it becomes part of this and it becomes part of this. I love all the books, but one of my spiritual daughters, her name is Donya Greenberg, she came the last time I think we were here, and she by herself raised $4.5 million and wrote the only Bible since the resurrection that's done by biblical scholars that are both Jewish and Christian. 32 Jewish scholars that had a PhD. Holy Ghost filled that know Jesus is Messiah. Because I don't care how well you know Hebrew, if you're not Jewish, Jew is a different perspective on things. It's a whole different way of looking at things. And this book is now tens of thousands of them everywhere. Let me just tell you, can I tell you? You'll never know the kingdom until you have a love for this. You'll never know the kingdom till you have a love. Man, I'm telling you, the answers to it all is right here. I know that sounds kind of like real basic. Hey, Bishop, give me like some serious revelation right now. This is revelation. Read this and interpret it in a practical way. Right? In other words, not a great story. This is what I always say. Whenever I do a funeral, I go and try to find them in the Bible. Right? Whenever I read the Bible, I find me in the Bible. I'm like, oh, good gracious. There it is again. That's me. Then what do? It tells you right here as one. In John 17, this is so important that you get this. When he says, you know that scripture where he says, Father, make them one. As you and I are one. Now watch this. If this is God, and Jesus is saying, I want them to be one like you and I are one. Now, most of us interpret that, and I'm all about unity. But what he's really saying is, because he's the firstborn among many brethren, right? Right, right, right. What he's really saying is, I want you to have a relationship with Dad like I have a relationship with Dad. We talk way too much about the guy who brought the message about him and not enough about him. The truth is about our Dad. Jesus, teach us to pray. Okay, we'll start this way. Our Father, all of our Father who's in heaven, it's your name, it's your kingdom come, it's your will be done. You're the answer. Jesus showed us some examples. He's our brother. But what I want more than anything else is your hand on me. I want to know how you think, and he thinks nothing else but kingdom. And he knows the power when we become one and are in agreement in anything, Jesus has to show up. See, the enemy always wants this division. How blessed is it when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flows down over the head and the beard. Can I tell you, the anointing comes when we get one. When we get one, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Father, close your eyes and say, Father, I want to know you like I've never known you before. This is what I try to do every day. I try to take God, be aware of God. And when I'm doing this, even with my wife, okay, that was not good. Okay, I won't do that anymore. Awareness of God. Awareness of dad. My dad used to do youth camps all over the state of Georgia with hundreds and hundreds of kids. This is my dad telling the rules. Now, this is back when people respected their houses, okay? Dad would get up and go, all right, kids, here's the one rule. Don't do anything here you wouldn't do at your own house. Because, you know, a bunch of them kids, when they got away, they go, we're going to cut up. We're going to cause chaos. Dad goes, now, if you do things you wouldn't do at your own house, then we're going to have to send you back to your house because you don't treat this place like your house. How many of you know that when you go home, you're still in God's house? When you go to work, you're still in God's house. When you don't think anybody sees you, going out doing something you don't supposed to do, you're still God's child. As one. Thank you, Will. Thank you, little Jennifer. David in 1 Samuel 17, he shows up, and David is so kingdom-minded, it doesn't matter to him. People say maybe 8 foot, that the Goliath was 8 foot or 13 feet. I don't know. He was big. He was bigger than everybody else. It took a man just to carry his. Can you hook that back up? Here, I just wanted to do that. Okay, we're back. Okay, it took a man just to carry his shield, and while he's there, David realized it's kingdom against kingdom. There are things that we're facing, my brother, that's kingdom against kingdom. I love Exodus 14, where, you know, Moses looks like he's trapped, right? He's by the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are, with 600 chariots, are right here, and he's got 1.2 million people that just all have a bad attitude. Really? Don't they? Why did you bring us out here in the desert? Weren't there enough graves back in Egypt? Then they just start rewriting history. Have you ever been around somebody that rewrites history that doesn't tell the truth? They said, we didn't want to get out of Egypt. They were crying for 400 years to get out of Egypt to the promised land. They were singing songs to get out. Now they've rewrote history. We didn't want to go. It was better when we were slaves getting beat every day and our children getting slaughtered and our girls, our daughters getting taken. No. When you're kingdom-minded, you don't need people's approval. Show me whose approval you need, and I'll show you where you're going in your life. Because even Jesus needed approval. Did you know that? John's about to baptize him. When he does, God says, excuse me, angels. I have to give my son something he needs. He breaks heaven open. He goes, hey, everybody, that's my son. My son. And my boy. In whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus goes, I needed that because I thought maybe I was just kind of out here in some deep water. No pun intended. Signing up, being identified with a maniac, John the Baptist, who you know was a maniac. As one. When we see in this story in Judges 20, they get up and there's like 26,000 of the Benjamites. Now, this is what's so sad. What's so sad is they're fighting against their own brothers, because what the enemy always wants to do is cause fighting within the family. That's division. I want to tell you something. I don't have to pray about it. Division in your family is not of God. And whatever you need to do to make it right on your side. You don't, what they do, it don't matter. You just need to forgive them and be the bigger person. Be kingdom-minded. My family belongs to the kingdom. I'm not following a trick. So anyway, there's 400,000 of God's children that are now going to fight on behalf of this woman in this city that decided to harbor rebellion. Let me tell you, the ruler spirit of all spirits that will cause the kingdom to never happen in your life is rebellion. That's exactly what got Adam and Eve taken out of the garden. I'm just telling you, rebellion is ugly. You want me to help you know? When you start a lot of sentences, I don't care what anybody says, there's a hurt that's happened in your life that you haven't resolved. Because I do care what some people say that God's put in my life. I do care. I don't care what anybody says. That's a statement of rebellion and pain. Yes?
Yes.
Y'all are a little quiet. Right? Rebellion and pain. You're not being as one. You're not being kingdom. Kingdom means there's a king. A secure king like God or his representatives loves to hear your opinion. But once you give your opinion and your peace, then you have to trust God. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Right? So we see this powerful thing as one. So God says, they said, shall we go up and fight? And God says, go. Go up and fight. Go up and fight. Now, have you ever been trying to do God's will and the whole thing kind of backfired on you? How many of y'all can, you can relate to me? Yeah, God said to me to do it. Just pow! 22,000 of the good guys that are being obedient to God get killed. I didn't say they got their feelings hurt. I didn't say they got wounded. I'm talking about fathers, brothers, husbands are dead. And the Bible says they came home and they're weeping and they're crying, but they don't lose the as one, because the next morning the Bible says they got up as one again and they inquired of the Lord again. Please take note of it. Take note of it. If you're not inquiring of the Lord every day, yesterday's obedience could be today's heresy. Right? Yesterday, God says, stand still. Today, he says, go. If you're still on stand still, you're being very disobedient. The rest of the army's moving. Okay. Shall we go? God says, go up again. And they do. 18,000 more killed. They're as one, obedient to God. Now in 2 days, 40,000 men are killed, just slaughtered, laying out there in the field, birds, animals, eating them. Now they come back. The Bible says they fasted. They prayed all night long. Can I tell you, don't give up. Kingdom-minded people don't give up. keep asking God, because it was a different word from God the third day. Because on the third day, God says, go up, for today you shall win. When you get to heaven and realize that you gave up a bunch of on the second day, and you realize on the third day you'd have won everything, you're going to be so ticked off. He was like, if I'd have just gone one more day. They go up the third day and kill them all. Well, they have to chase down some others and kill them all. So here's how many people after the three-day war the enemy had. Zero, all of them killed. God's people had lost one out of ten. 400,000, 40,000 got killed. But I tell you this, the power of unity is, you know what was so beautiful about worship this morning? You could tell the stage was in unity. I always look at that. Because if you watch stage not of unity, musicians cutting their eyes at the other one. Doing. Or somebody doesn't know the words, or somebody looking at each other like, what? Man, it was like when, where's the girl that was talking? Lauren. When she was talking, it was like everybody on the stage was so interested. They were like, what? It was like it had happened to them. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. They were there with you. The body, the church was with you. They were as one. How can you be lonely when we're as one? When you could call somebody up and they just say, yes, I'm there for you. I love the series on battle. This is going to be, it's going to be incredible, because the way we fight is just different. Right. You're going to hear that. The way we fight is just different. The way we fight is sometimes when Jesus would just be quiet and his silence was deafening. He would go, what? Okay, I just said that. Can I just take those words back? Let me reel those things back in. The last principle I want to give you this morning that I believe is a kingdom principle is the principle of fathering. This is huge to me, because yesterday I went out to my dad's house, and he's so weak right now. I lean him back in his lazy boy, and I shampoo his hair. And, oh, God, he loves that so much. And I have never cut hair in my life. Never, ever. I got my scissors. I know what the girl does when she cuts my hair. I think I can wing it. I just pull that stuff up dusty. Make sure that it's the same length all around. Just cut that stuff up. And it comes out looking great. Then I take, now don't be late. Don't be undermining me now. We're as one. Remember? Last principle. Okay. And then I'll take a hot cloth and I'll put it on his face. And oh, he goes, oh. He says, son, you're so good to me. Buren talked to him on the phone yesterday. He says, you're so good to me. I take it off and lather him up and I shave him. And then I do what I have never done in my whole life. Another first, besides cutting hair. I've never shaved anybody. That's new. I bathe my father, because he can't bathe himself. And I'm very careful to do it with dignity and honor. And my brother looks at me and goes, how can you do that? Because some of it is difficult. And then I give him a pedicure and manicure. Never done that before. And when I get through, he looks at me and he starts crying. He says, I've never been treated like this in my life. I said, Dad, you deserve it, because you taught me how to father. These guys, people flew in from all over the country this past week for me to teach them. And they would keep calling me dad. Where did I learn all that from? That man I was taking care of. Why do you think the Bible starts the first commandment with a promise? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. I'm going to live a long time. I've banked on that. Well, you don't know. My dad's not like your dad. It doesn't matter what your dad has done or your mom has done. You're just responsible to honor them. You don't. It didn't mean they control you. You just have to honor them. We are living in a world that has not been fathered. You see kids today, I go through airports, I'll go into stores and things and just watch kids scream out profanity in front of like elderly people, or so be so disrespectful in so many ways. And I'm not mad at them. I'm concerned about who was your daddy. And a lot of them don't know who their daddy was. And so for that, I feel great compassion. But we, as the church, as the kingdom, we have to have the responsibility of fathering. And if there ever was a scripture bureau, and that's the truth, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. Because a father, now that's different. You got to man up. You have to put on your big boy pants. And fathering is not about gender. Fathering are the class that you have. Thank you, Eagles Way, for the class you have on parenting. Because we're expecting young parents to know what to do. And where did they learn that from? Because a lot of them didn't have an example growing up. She knew how to be a mother. She had like the greatest mother in the world. She just emulated her mommy. To father. I sit down every time after I finish with dad. I sit down and I say, now tell me something important. Tell me something. And he still has his mind. It just takes him a while. And he'll be thinking. And so this past week, my oldest, my son was there, who now pastors our church in Miami. I said, Dad, tell Joshua the secret about pastoring. And Dad goes, all right, you ready? And Josh said, yes, sir. He said, love the people with all your heart. Everything else will be taken care of. Isn't that about it, Pure? Isn't that about it? Just love people with everything you got. Then God takes care of everything else. Jesus, tell us what you think of all the commandments. He goes, okay. Love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit. And then love the people around you like you love yourself. That's it. What's the kingdom? It's not complicated. He came and made things clear. Jesus came to make things clear about the kingdom. It's here, and it's here. I don't want you to be lonely. How many people do you know that you've counseled and you've talked to, and they do crazy things? You do desperate things when you feel you're lonely, don't you? And some of those things you can't ever take back. You're not lonely. We're one. Some of you had your heart broken. Oh, my goodness. I know that. But we're one. It's the family of God. As one. And then I saw the lady back there with the computer when the children are coming back into the children's room, and I went and looked at the little ones walking around their little classrooms, and I went, I wonder if they're being bothered. You know that children get their identity from their father. They get their nurturing from their mother. You want to tell me why so many people are in trouble understanding their identity? Go back and see. It's a father that says, "You're doing great. I'm so proud of you. Oh my goodness. So proud of you. I got this big fathering thing in me." I hope Anna doesn't get upset with me saying this, but she would be playing up there today, and I couldn't take my eyes off her. And John Henry is there up there doing their thing, but I'm sitting there just looking at her, and about every 20 bars she would just look up to see if I was looking. And what I was doing was great. You're great. You're great. When you walk out today, do you know the difference it can make in somebody's life to just go, "Well, you're doing such a great job. Is there anything that I could do?" That fathering thing. If you want to be a Christian or you want to be like your Heavenly Father, He made us in His likeness and in His image. What was He? A father. What should all of us be? A father. We take responsibility to raise up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't be confused. They won't be looking for their way. They'll just know. Can you come up and play a little bit of keyboard as I close? I just want to pray for some people. Would you just bow your head for a second, if you will? How many of you are here this morning and you go, Dwayne, I'm honest, I struggle with loneliness sometimes. I do. I kind of feel lonely. I kind of feel separated. That thing really, really, really something that I battle. Nobody's looking. This is you, God, and me. Just raise your hand if you know that that's something. Yep, 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 yep. How many others? Yep, 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 yep. How many others? Yep. It's okay. This loneliness hits men just the same as it does women. There's sometimes I'll just say, "Sonny, I need you just to come in here and you'd be close to me. Just be in the same room." How many others raise your hand and say, "Dwayne, I feel sometimes alone." Just slip your hand up. I know there's a bunch of, yep, 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 yep. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I want everybody, if you will, to stand up. Everybody stand up. Now, we're going to do the as one principle. Because I don't want you to go home the way you came. Now, here's what I want you to do, Eagles Way. If you see somebody get out and walk down here, don't you dare let them walk down by themselves. Two or three people walk with them. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit that makes people feel alienated, that makes them feel alone. God, today they're going to feel loved. They're going to feel so free. If you're here and you know this is, come on, I want you just to be honest. Don't wait for anybody else. If you raised your hand, I want you to come down here and nobody walks alone. Come. Somebody needs to be walking with her. Nobody walks alone. Somebody walk with her. Come on. Nobody walks alone. Somebody stand with her. You're back. Come. Hallelujah. You're not alone. Somebody stand with that. Oh, my goodness. That beautiful woman. Yep. There we go. Come on. That's good. Thank you. Come on. There's a few more. You're about to go into battle. There's a battle right now over you. And I'm telling you, you're not alone. Thank you for your courage. But it's going to be rewarded tonight because we're as one. Anybody else? Just close your eyes just for a second. I'm just asking you, if you feel alone, come on down. Come. You don't have to be alone. That's good. Now let me have a few powerful prayer warriors that'll come down here and be in front of these people. I want to make a circle around them. Come on. Come on. If you're a believer, I want to make a circle around them. Come on. That's it. Thank you. Come up here around the front too. Yeah. That's good. Like this. Yeah. Come on in here like this. I want them to know. Yep. Come in closer. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. The kingdom of God defeats loneliness every time. I want everybody in the building to reach your hand out toward these people. Now look here, I want you love. Those of you that are standing in front, put your hands on people. Let them feel love. Put your arms around them. Let them feel your spirit. Let them feel how much you love them. That's good. Yeah. See, there's things happening. That's good. Yeah. That's perfect. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that you said you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You said you sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. I pray in Jesus' name that the spirit of loneliness is broken. The spirit of loneliness is broken. That God, that they feel love just coming out. They just feel love coming out to everybody that's here. Everybody back there in the congregation, put your arm around somebody. Let me just feel the love. Feel the love in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that we're one. We are a family. I thank you for fulfillment. I thank you for God, the kingdom of God. I want you, if you're standing in front of somebody, tell somebody something good. Tell them that they're not alone. Tell them that you love them. Give them a hug. Tell them that they're special. Some of you are already doing it. Tell somebody, you're not alone. I'm there with you. We're one. Now everybody stay right where you are. Let me just say this. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, oh my goodness, your life is about to supernaturally change. Anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, just slip your hand up. Let me just see, because I'll pray for you right where you stand. You don't know Jesus, I'll pray for you, and God will give you the victory now. That's awesome. Place that believes, everybody believes. Now here's what I want to do. I want you to give me my horn. I know that Pastor Buehr's got to come up here and do one thing, but I want you to do 2 minutes, 2 full minutes of hugging people, serious, not funny hugging, serious, like I love you and you're not alone. I want you to tell people I love you and you're not alone. Go, everybody in the congregation, y'all out there, yep. I want to see hugging, and you're not alone. love you, Jesus. I love you, Pure and Goss. You're never alone as long as I'm alive. I can tell you that. I know you got Barbara. I love you so much. And thank you for calling and asking me to come. I haven't been traveling. And so you calling me up was kind of very special. That I could be close to Dad and come. Thank you. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're not alone. The kingdom of God is where? Let me say all this side. The kingdom of God is where? And if it's more powerful than the Roman Empire, it's more powerful than anything you're going to face. Let's say it one more time. The kingdom of God is where? Here and here. Amen. Love you.
Ushers coming to worship God with giving to this ministry. The Bible says those that minister to you spiritual things, you're to give them material things. And so how many would like to hear there's another one in the fire besides me? Does anybody else want to hear says somebody else in the fire but me? Man, aren't you glad there's always somebody else there? Would you just remain standing for a moment and as they come and I really want to encourage you to fill out that connection card and sign up for one of those groups. You're going to have an opportunity. You can't do all three at this time, but you're going to have an opportunity over the next year to do all of them maybe. So, and I don't do this a lot. I don't promote myself a lot, but I want to promote this series on battles. God, I spent 2 full days just hearing him speak to me a fresh word about battles and a fresh word about how to fight them. Where are they? What are they? And as Dwayne said, we fight differently. You have to understand that. We're fighters. We're warriors. But we fight differently. And you got to know what your weapons are. A lot of people use the wrong weapons, and a lot of people fight battles they ought not be fighting. If you get pulled into somebody else's battle, it can be really devastating to you and to other people. So you got to be careful. And it's going to be a little old school and new school. It's going to be taking some things. The Bible says a good scribe reaches back and takes things old and take things new and pulls them together. How many know there's some good old things? You're here today because of some old things in your life, some old things. So let's worship God with this song. This will be our dismissal song. And is there anything, Will, that we need to share? Okay. This will be our dismissal song, but just let this soak into you as you leave here today as we just let these words do what they need to do, okay?
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire. Standing next to me, there was another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Thank you. dead, left for dead beneath the walls. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I will bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need remind, the power set me free. There is a grave that holds no bound. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So command the space between all the things unseen and its reckoning. I know I will never be.
Have a good day, everybody.